You hear the sirens, you see the flashing red lights, and you just instinctively pull your car to the side of the road. It is such an everyday sight. But have you ever stopped to wonder who actually regulates all that chaos? So let's unpack this.
Yeah, we are doing a deep dive today into the Western Cape Ambulance Services Act of 2010. And it's a really dense trilingual government document. So it's officially written in English, Afrikaans, and isiXhosa.
Right.
And our mission today is to uncover the honestly incredibly strict rules governing who can actually operate an ambulance. And, you know, the really surprising powers they hold when they arrive at an emergency.
Because before anyone can just flip on those flashing lights, they really have to pass through some strict legal gateways, right? Like, the law basically says you cannot run an ambulance service without a license.
Exactly. No exceptions.
And it doesn't even matter if you are an organ of state, like a government department or a local municipality, you still need that license. It's kind of like a bouncer at an exclusive club, right? It's less like a standard DMV vehicle registration and more like, I don't know, a rolling hospital accreditation.
Yeah, that is a great way to put it. The government inspecting officer, they aren't just checking tire pressure. They are actively enforcing these strict minimum norms and standards for the personnel, the vehicles, and the medical equipment.
Wow, okay.
If you don't meet the baseline, they will issue a compliance notice or just completely suspend your license. You can't just buy a van, you know, put a stretcher in the back and call yourself a medical transport.
Wait, so what about jurisdictional lines, though? Like, if an ambulance from a neighboring province, say the Northern Cape, crosses the border into the Western Cape with a critical patient, are they suddenly breaking the law because they don't have that specific provincial license?
Well, what's fascinating here is how the legislation actually anticipates those exact jurisdictional hurdles. Out-of-province transports are perfectly fine, provided they are just, you know, dropping a patient off at a health establishment and heading right back.
Okay, that makes practical sense.
Yeah, and they are also exempt if they're providing temporary assistance during a declared disaster or if the service is essentially an emergency center at a hospital.
Right. Okay. Now, because they pass all those strict licensing tests, the law grants ambulance personnel some pretty remarkable authority once they arrive at an emergency, like Section 9 stuff.
Oh, definitely.
They can temporarily close roads. They can enter premises by any reasonable means, restrict access to an incident scene, and even physically remove people.
So, wait, do they basically have temporary police powers at an incident scene? Like, can they just kick anyone out of an area?
Well, I mean, they aren't police, but they do become the absolute authority over the physical space surrounding the patient. But, you know, it is highly conditional.
They can only really remove someone if that person is in danger, poses a threat to themselves, or is actively obstructing the medical team from doing their jobs.
So, like, if a bystander is stepping on an oxygen line trying to get a video for social media or something, the paramedic actually has the legal backing to force them out of the perimeter.
That's it, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, life-saving work is just impossible if paramedics are being hindered by a crowd or if traffic is putting them in physical danger.
Right, of course.
So the law empowers them to control the environment, basically doing whatever is reasonably necessary so they can actually stabilize and transport the patient. In those moments, they have to be seen commanders, not just medical workers.
And I guess because they hold that much power, the penalties for abusing it or, you know, faking it are incredibly severe. Looking at Section 10 here, you can face up to 5 years in prison.
Yeah, it's no joke.
5 years for obstructing personnel, making fake emergency calls, or impersonating an ambulance worker. And it even covers the vehicles themselves, right? Like, you can't illegally display terms like paramedic or medical rescue or advanced life support on a vehicle without a prescribed license token. So wait, just slapping an ambulance sticker on my personal van could legitimately land me 5 years in prison.
Up to 5 years in prison, yeah. Or a massive fine. Or both, actually. And there's a profound reason for that severity.
Which is?
Well, public trust. If anyone could just fake an ambulance, the entire emergency response system would collapse.
Oh, wow, yeah.
The public needs absolute certainty that the vehicle rushing toward them in a crisis is fully vetted, properly equipped, and, you know, legally accountable.
And that token you mentioned, that's the official, like, color-coded license sticker displayed on the windshield or the side panels of the vehicle, right?
Yes, exactly. That token proves they passed all those rigorous safety inspections and actually have the legal right to operate.
Because when you're dialing emergency services, the absolute last thing you should be worrying about is whether the vehicle arriving is some rogue operator.
Exactly.
This legal framework is basically the invisible safety net, ensuring the people showing up on your worst day are actually qualified and legally empowered to save your life.
It really is a framework of trust,
Yeah.
and it operates entirely in the background until the exact second you need it.
So the next time you pull over and see an ambulance speed by, look closely for that official license token on the side. It really makes you wonder what other everyday emergency systems are secretly held together by this kind of invisible, highly regulated legal web.